year, there were times I'm sure many of us didn't know how or if we were going to make it. But can we say, look what God has done? Come on, can we say, look what God has done? The psalmist said, if it was not for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? If it wasn't for the Lord that was my keeper, where would I be? So can we just say, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Can we say, everything we ought to do, what? Y'all know I don't like a quiet church.
Amen.
You're going to be quiet, you can stay home. Amen. We came here, the Bible says, what kind of noise is it? A joyful noise. So can we all just say, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
From the depths of my soul, I want to say, thank you. Amen. We honor the Lord today. We thank God for my wife, blessing her with life, health, and strength. Amen. Blessing her with a mind to rest. Amen. I was at a doctor's appointment, so I know what the doctor said. But I said, even as the doctor was talking, I said, I'm talking about Jehovah Rapha. God, our healer. Come on, God is a healer. 2018 was a challenging year for our whole family. Mr. Simon had an operation. Sister Tanya had an operation. Amen. They tried to mess with me, but I wouldn't do it. Sister Brooke has been going through her trial. Brother James was back and forth in the hospital. Amen. Brendan was back and forth in the hospital. Amen. We lost our grandson. But can somebody say, look what God has done? The devil thought he was going to steal our mind. The devil thought he was going to steal our praise. But I never lost my hope. I never lost my joy. I never lost my praise. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. Now, I had a little portion of our New Year's Eve for a watch night service. Amen. For those of you that missed watch night service, you missed the service. Amen. The praise team saved us into heaven. Then we had to come back to earth when they finished. But nevertheless, God is still good. Can we say hallelujah? So our theme for this year, last year we were saying, let it go on the what? Pass. Right, so we let go of the past. So whatever happened in 2018, guess what? Leave it back there.
Yes.
Whatever happened in 2018, don't let the devil let you bring it into this 2019. Leave it back there. So our theme for this year is trust in the Lord and give him
all.
Now I didn't say your all, but my all could be subject. In other words, what I think might be my all, it might not be your all. But when I say give him all of you, hallelujah, ain't no debating that. That's not subjective. That's not a matter of opinion. Give him all of you. Amen. And supporting scriptures for that is Psalm 25:1. And David the psalmist said, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now that word soul means everything I have, Lord, I'm giving it to you. My finances, my home, my car, my wife, my husband, my children, everything I have, I'm giving it to you. So can we look at somebody and say, that's all of you?
That's all of you.
If you hold back anything, it's not all. Amen? We're giving him all of us. And then he says in verse 2, oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not. You know what? If you trust in God, and this is why the devil has so many people in church messed up. They think if they trust in God, God will let them be ashamed. That means be publicly humiliated. That means be publicly disgraced. That means you'll be all disappointed. But if you trust in God, you won't be ashamed. Amen. Can we just say thank you, Jesus? Trust in the Lord. And give him all. Can we say all of you?
All of you.
For some of us, it might be a little hard. Sometimes we want to keep back some stuff. Amen. Like last week, one of Ananias and Sapphira, they want. wanted to keep that part of the cell because they didn't fully trust God. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you trust God, just give it all to Him. And be assured of this, if you give God your all, you can't beat God's gift. So if you give God your all, be assured of this, you reap what you sow. So if you give God your all, guess what you're going to reap back? Your all. But when you only give God part of you, you only get back part. Can we just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So this year, let's work on giving God all of you. Now, we only want to use 2018 as a reference point. We don't want to go back there, but we want to use it as a reference point as we continue to grow spiritually in this new year, because the Bible says the path of the just is like a what? Shining light, it shines what? More and more until the perfect day. So I don't know how my light diminished in 2018, but in 2019, I want it to shine more. Can we say more? That's your challenge. Are you really willing to give God your all? I know 1,000 years from today, amen, and when, if I'm in eternity, when I'm with the Lord, I don't want to be there saying, Lord, I didn't give you my all. Yeah. Think of that. God gives us everything. I was talking to someone recently. They said, I'm just so busy, I don't have time to go to church. I asked them, I said, well, who woke you up this morning? He said, God. You got a job. Who gave you your job? God. You look like you're in a reasonable portion of your health, and strength. Who gave that to you? God. You have a house? Yes. Who gave that to you? God. You got a right mind? Who gave that to you? God. You have finances? Who gave that to you? And you mean you don't have 2 hours to tell God, thank you? I never think of it that way, but you need to think of it. Because God gives us everything. We don't want to be like a bunch of sponges. What do sponges do? Alright, that ain't a trick question, y'all. Y'all watch those Bounty commercials, right? What do sponges do? You ever see a sponge give anything back? I could preach on don't be a sponge saint, but that ain't my message. I could preach on that, don't be a sponge saint. Don't just keep soaking up and don't give God nothing back. But we need to give God something back. And I choose to give God all of me. So my wife says, I live at the church. And my wife's friend says, the church is my girlfriend. Right? Isn't that what she said? You know what I'm talking about, right? You're sorry. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to show God my gratitude.
Yeah.
For what God has done for me. We didn't get in this big building because we have the money and all the finances. We got to get it because God made a way where there. But our back was against the wall. And it looked it was all, as though it was all over here. Come on, God made a way. So when I think of what God has done, I don't have no sheepish praise. I don't have no sheepish worship. I worship God because I'm thankful for all that He's done.
Yes.
Amen. The psalmist said, what shall I render? Listen, put yourself in this place. What shall I render unto the Lord for what?
All
of His.
Yes.
God gives you benefits. Yes. Now, how do you pay Him back? Even though He doesn't ask us to pay Him back, but how do you pay God back for all that He has given you? He said, I'll take the cup of salvation.
Yes, Lord.
And I will call on the name of God. And besides that, I will pay every vow that I made to God. How many vows have we made that we broke? Don't we serve a harmless, wonderful God? He gives us a chance to make all those things right that we had in the past that were wrong. So can we just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I'm going to quote one more scripture. Y'all say, by now you already finished preaching and sit down. But I ain't yet. But Psalm 73 and verse at least 25 says this. The psalmist said, whom am I in heaven but thee? Listen, Lord, whom am I in heaven
but thee?
He said, there's none that I desire on earth besides thee. You know what he's saying? He said, Lord, you are my everything. How many know God is our everything? Lord, if I desire something, it has to be a distant second to you. There's none that I desire on earth besides thee. Amen. I love my wife, but I don't love her more than God. I love all of you, but I don't love you more than God. Why? There's none that I desire on earth besides thee. So we need, for 2019, let's get our spiritual perspective correct. Amen. And our message this morning is going to deal with a little bit. So let's turn to Psalms 139. If you can stand for our scripture reading. Psalms 139. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 together. Amen. Actually, I'll read verses 1 through 8, and then afterwards we'll go over a little more. So we're in Psalms 139. And our focus is on giving God all of us. Amen. And we know we got some parts of us that is not very desirable. Every last one of us got some stuff in us that's not desirable. But when you give God your all, God takes that our desirable stuff and he makes it desirable. But you can't hold back on God thinking that I got to fix this my way. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So don't get quiet. Not unless you're musing. Musing means you're thinking heavily. You meditate on what God has done. Verse 1 of Psalms 139 reads, O Lord, thou hast. All right, I'm going to wait for everybody to get it. Is it on the screen? Y'all need to know you're going to fight. Y'all, I can't even down south. I was telling my grandson the other day, I'm coming down south. The preacher just announced it. Title of the message, everybody be shouting. He reads the first scripture, hallelujah, they all shout. I said, well, I'm sad to preach more. You didn't even get to the message, and the whole church is shouting. So you know what they're going to do when they get the message. So we're gonna train y'all how to be down south. I heard a brother, though, he said he ain't used to a lively church. Listen, God's been too good. Don't hold back. You better show him something. Amen. He said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts. Well, I didn't even think it yet, but God already knows it. Thou comfortest my path and my line now, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, Lord, don't let the word fall. said. Lord, we ask you to send your anointing. For only the anointing can break yokes. Lord, only your anointing can set the captives free. Lord, only the anointing can open up spiritually blinded eyes. Lord, only the anointing can move on us. And for that, we say thank you, Jesus. For Lord, our hearts desire today is speak, Lord, for thy servant here. Can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So our message today, we're talking about a God that knows everything there is about you. Listen, he knows everything. He said, I know your thoughts are fall. I know your word before it's in your tongue. He said, I see you when you're laying down. I see you when you're going by your way. He said, I'm all around you. So our message today is, God knows everything about you. Who knows everything? God knows everything about you. And we're going to have a subtopic is what? Stop. Come on, y'all. This is public speaking 101. Stop being
counterfeit.
I heard a preacher who was talking about all these people talking about why they don't come to church and all the fake false hypocrites in church. And how that's why they don't go to church and all this other stuff. Y'all hear that? Yeah. I heard that too. Yeah. There's a whole lot of good people in church too. Yeah. Why don't we focus on the negative? But he said there's a whole lot of people in church that saints are calling counterfeits. He said there's a whole lot of counterfeit money out there too. And we know because we got some at the bank. The counterfeit money to the bank over. None of y'all put that in there. Willingly, knowingly, put that money in there. The lady was standing there for a long time looking at it. Like, what are you doing? She said, we got to put this money aside. I was like, why? She said, we've had a lot of counterfeit money in the city of Troy recently. That's what she said. She said, so if we test it and if it's not counterfeit, we put it in your account. She said, but if it is counterfeit, you lost it. We didn't get it back, so it had to be counterfeit. But what he said, there's a whole lot of real, let's use $100 bills. Then there's a whole lot of counterfeit $100 bills. Y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
How many of you stop spending those real $100 bills because of the counterfeit?
No.
Right? So when they found some counterfeit money, you just stopped spending all your money.
No.
Did you?
No.
I know, I didn't when they told us that. So he said, because there's counterfeit, you don't stop doing the real thing.
Yeah.
How many know there's a whole lot of real people in church?
Amen.
So we should stop going to church because of a few counterfeits.
Yeah.
What's a counterfeit? A counterfeit is something that looks real.
Yes.
They shout like everybody else shout. They have on all the nice church clothes like everybody else.
Right.
They even have all of the church jargon that they can say everything that you see in church. Some of you have a shout, like everybody else shouts. But guess what? God knows everything about you. So back, I'm giving you some history. Back in the beginning, during the time of gold, a lot of people were finding gold, but then there were people that had some counterfeit gold. So they had to devise a way to find out what was real and what was counterfeit. Because it looked like the real thing. Y'all have some people in church that look like the real thing? Alright, y'all ain't gotta judge me. I'm not trying to incriminate nobody. We've all seen something. Come on. Be honest. We talk about in church. The Bible said in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, some of wood, some of earth, some to honor and some to
dishonor.
The great house is the church, so guess what? They in there. They were back in Jesus' day, they were in there. Alright, so they had to devise a way to figure out what was real gold and what was fake gold. So the only way they could really determine it was they had to use what was called the acid test. Acid test, to be correct, nitric oxide. Because real gold, when you put acid on real gold, it just sits there, don't do anything. But when you put nitric acid on fake gold, that stuff fuzz and bubbles and does everything. So in a second, they knew if you were real, if your gold was real as it was fake. called the acid test. So what did the acid do? It burned, right? The acid burned, but it couldn't burn through gold. That's why I heard Job say, after he has finished trying me, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold after he's finished trying me. Why? Because that acid is revealing my true nature.
Yes.
Your trials are revealing your true nature. Your hardships reveal your true nature. So if you're real gold, hallelujah. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold that's what? Tried in the fire. Why would the gold has been tried in the fire? When the gold comes through the fire, you know that is pure gold. Anybody want to be pure gold? Ask God to put me in the fire. Lord, try me. Lord, put me through the acid test and see if I am real. All right, so that's just a little introduction. You can't trick God. You can't fool God. Amen. So let me go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's read 3 through 7. I'm going to read this with you now. I'm not going to try and preach unless God said preach. Because I want us to be real. How many want to be real with God? Listen. The world has trained us since we were little kids to put on a show for somebody else. So most of us have grown up our whole life trying to impress others and can be miserable on the inside. The latest fashion, the best this, the best of everything, shining on the outside, crying on the inside. Because we're trying to impress man. Whom am I in heaven but thee? There's none that I desire on earth. I don't want to impress you. My greatest desire is to be pleasing to God. Can we say hallelujah? So 1 Peter 3 reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his
abundant mercy,
thank God for mercy. Because mercy, judgment said you deserve death. But mercy said I've covered them under the blood of Jesus. So this morning, all of us deserve death. Because the wages of sin is
death.
But the gift, can we say thank God for the gift? Thank God for the gift. But the gift of God is
eternal life.
Has begun us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You know what I'm saying? The death, nor grave, nor hell can hold Jesus. They tried to hold him, but they couldn't hold him. Amen. Jesus arose, and because he arose, we are here today. And just to let you know that Jesus rose, I believe it says in Matthew, the 26th chapter, around the 56th verse, and also in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it said, when Jesus rose, a whole lot of them saints that were in the grave got up with him. Power in the name of Jesus. Resurrection. I just give you those chapters so y'all can look it up for yourself and don't say I made it up. Right? So the Bible said they got up and they went and showed themselves in the city. So when Jesus rose up and they saw all those people that were dead rising up, they said something is happening. I see my dead loved ones and they're walking around. They weren't familiar spirit, but when Jesus rose up, the Bible said he led captivity captive and he gave unto man. Hallelujah. So when he rose with power.
Yes,
death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. Amen. Jesus, when he got back in the 28th chapter, he told his apostles, he said, all power.
Yes.
Can we say all power?
Rejoice.
Though now for a season. But I'm still going through the crucibles of life. I'm going through the crucibles of trials and tests and fire. Amen. Let us go to 1 Corinthians there. I'm going to come back to this. Let us go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. So, how do you feel like you're in the fire? Every time I get out of one burning situation, God, I'm in another. That's just your faith on trial. If you come through unscarred, you receive a crown. But if your trials, if your situations get burned up, let's see what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he, every last one of us are building something for God. He said, take heed how you build. For other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is that if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by, and the fire shall try whether you're in church or out of church, your works are going to be tried.
Yes.
The fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So as long as you're in this body, you're going to have some trials.
Yes.
You're going to have suffering. But don't let your work be burned up. Amen. Paul tells Timothy, in the second chapter of Timothy, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord.
Lord,
I'm so glad you know me.
Yes.
Aren't you glad God knows you?
Yes.
The Lord knows those that are him. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if you're in Christ, you got to leave ungodliness alone.
Yes.
Because the foundation of God standing sure. And the psalmist said, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? So we're standing on God's foundation. We're standing on God's word. But he says in the next verse, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, some of wood and some of earth. Amen. But if a man would therefore some to honor and some to dishonor, but if a man shall purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared. That means God set you apart for himself, but you have to purge yourself from ungodliness. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So God knows everything that is about you. Don't be a counterfeit. Don't look the part. Amen. Don't come to church trying to be impressive. Now God says in the book of Samuel, he said, man looks at me. God looks at you. Man looks at your outward appearance. But God said, I know everything that is about you. I see what they can't see. Man looks at the outward appearance, but what? God looks at your heart. Now let us go back to Psalms 139. They believe that this is one of the most intimate psalms that ever was written. This Psalm 139 is one of the most intimate psalms because it tells you how involved God is with all of us. Amen. Aren't you glad God is really involved with you?
Yes.
Well, he starts off in verse 1. He says, Lord, thou hast searched me and... And that word is to search me. God has delicately, intricately, and intimately searched every part of your being. God has searched every part of your being. Every part of my being. There's some stuff in us that we don't, nobody else don't know, but guess who knows? God knows everything that is about you. He said, thou hast searched me, and not only did you search me, but then you will also have. That known means to have an intimate, ongoing relationship with me in spite of my frailties. Now, this is David. Remember, David was a murderer. David committed adultery. David was was, had his hands were full of blood. So he's telling God, he said, God, you know everything is about me. Amen. There's nothing I can hide from you, God. You know everything that is about me. Verse 2, he said, thou knowest mine. And who God knows it. God knows when I sit down, and God knows when I. What are you doing when you sit down? You sit down, you're planning, you're trying to make plans for the future. So God said, I see you when you sit down making your plans. Then I see you as you're going on your way. He said, not only that, but I know what? I know your, and but then I know your thoughts. So you sit down and you plan. And actually, Sister Gibbs, change that from the other side. That's way too small. Go to 139 and do it the other way with one. Yeah, there you go. They can see it better. All right. So he's telling them, he said, now I know your thoughts. You didn't even know what you were thinking tomorrow. But guess who knows it? Why? Because he said, I'm acquainted with God knows everything he is about you. So why are we in church? Well, God said, I may know God knows. Because that means God knows everything that is. Well, why did you do this? Well, in your mind, you're planning the canal. God said, now you sit down thinking. Now, I know you're down sitting. You sit down, you're planning, you're thinking. He said, I know what you're doing. Then when you get up to execute that, he said, I already know your thoughts. Because I know
your ways.
God knows us. Somebody said, this ain't a New Year's message. This if you want to start off right and say right. Amen. It ain't if you want to just come to shout and walk out the same way you came in. Amen. You know, we're going to get some spiritual nitric acid. Spiritual. So every Satan that walks through the door, we're just going to put some acid on you, including me. You know what I mean? I said, spiritual, they ain't going to hurt you. So when I put the spiritual nitric acid, I'm going to lock all those doors. I'm going to lock that door. Everybody got to go out that door. I'm making this facetious, but listen. So when you walk out the doors, one at a time, we ain't going to do it on the carpet because we can't walk the carpet. We're going to wait till you get out on the towel. When you step out the door, we're going to put some spiritual nitric oxide on you. If you're all right, ain't nothing going to happen. This is all right. But if you walk out the door and we put some on you and start bubbling, I'm going to send you back to the start. You understand? That because you're not pure. We don't want to play with God, do we? God knows the real thing about us. So, we won't do it this week, so don't y'all be afraid to go out the doors. Don't stay here all day. But the spiritual nitric oxide is going to reveal the real you. Amen? All right, let's finish it. He said, thou comest my past and my lying down, and are acquainted with God knows everything he is about every last one of us this morning. God knows our good, he knows our bad, he knows our ugly. But aren't you glad he's a forgiving God?
Yes.
In spite of our good and ugly, he still keeps us. He still makes ways for us. He said, I know you, but I still love you. And because I love you, I want to let my blood cover you. Because your adversary, the devil, daily brings up accusations against you. But by the word of the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of your testimony, you've been made clean. That's why you need to testify sometimes. Your testimony helps you to overcome. Let's just finish this. He said, but there's not a word in my tongue. A word, right? I didn't say it. I said, you don't have to say it. I already know. Because God is a so many other word, 1, 2, 3, 4, omniscient. Meaning he is all knowing. God is omniscient. Man said, thank you. God tells me when he tells us who me, you cannot think it. You always?
Amen.
Man said, well, you can look the part and dress the part. God said, with me, you cannot think it. You cannot fool me. I know everything that is about you. Well, how come you weren't here last night? Oh, I had something to do. God said, no, you went to the wrong place, and you already know that. You always? Hey, I don't get paid a lot, so y'all can't take my pay, so it ain't gonna hurt me. I don't get paid that much anyway, so y'all can take my pay, it ain't gonna hurt me. I just still will tell the truth. Because we're trying to approach a holy God in an unholy way. How can you approach a holy God in an unholy way? Well, what makes it unholy? You have to be truthful. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You cannot be a charlatan. You cannot be a fake. Jesus don't call them fake. He calls them hypocrites. Because the hypocrites say one thing, but they do. So God said, can we just finish this whole thing out? This is one of those most intimate songs. The Lord said, I have searched you and I know you. You know how we have a tendency sometimes when something's about to happen in our mind, we got our mind going like 5 million miles per hour making up something.
Yeah.
Right? Well, why don't you do this? Hurry up. You pump it up. I gotta make it look good. God said, you can't make nothing look good in front of me.
Yeah.
Right? You can't make it look good in front of me. God said, because I know. Yeah. Actually, go to Hebrews, not just in the text, but let me just use this one. Go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, I think it's the 13th verse. I'm just going to show you. God knows what?
Everything.
He knows all there is about us. I think it's 4, go to Hebrews 4:13, I think it's one of them. 4:13 or 14 or something like that. If you don't find me yet, I just want to show you. We can't hide. Okay, that's it. That's the right one. 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is what? Everything is open to God. Your motives, your thoughts, your words, your actions, even what you stick and hide under the cover, God's not seeing it. Because it is manifest. It is open. He said manifest in his sight. But all things are. That means you cannot hide anything from God. They are naked. Well, what? God said, no. It's what? It's open. Go back to I'm not going to go that far. We go to the high priest. Go back to 13. Open the eyes we have to, with whom we have to do. So everything we do is open to God. How can we fool a God that sees and knows all?
Right.
So when we are telling something that's not a truth, we can't be telling it to God because he already knows the truth. So when we are telling something that's not truthful, we're doing it to impress man. Because God already knows the truth. So we're living in a life, in a time where we're impressing people and displeasing God. How many of us want to make a stand for God? How many of us have said, Lord, I want to do what pleases you? Because you have searched me and you have. And listen, I'm going to get down to the latter portion of this. This is what David said. He said, God, you searched me, you know me. Everything about me. He says, such knowledge. Well, verse 5 said, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. He said, God, everywhere I go, you're with me. You're behind me, you're in front of me, you're beside me, and you're even over me. So there is no place that I can go and hide from God. So I can make up something, but it won't stand the acid test because God knows the truth. Such knowledge, he says, too wonderful for me. It is high I cannot attain unto it. He said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know what he's saying? He said, God, everywhere I go, you are there. Where can I go? Where can I flee from your presence? God fills all heaven and earth. Sister Gibbs, go to Jeremiah 23 and verse 23. God fills all heaven and earth. God filled, you know, in the scripture he says his name is going to be magnified in heaven, on earth, and on the earth. God's everywhere. But Jeremiah 23, go back the other way to verse 23. Thank you. He said, am I a God in hand, says the Lord, and not a God? God said, in all your situations I am close to you. I'm not far off. I'm near you. I'm acquainted with you. I know all about you. Now verse 24 says this. Because he knows you. He's acquainted with you. He knows, can we say everything?
Everything.
And then he hides himself in a secret place and I shall not
see him.
You know, you ever see people, sometimes people are funny. You know, they'll be in the wrong place and they see them, somebody see them, they try to duck them in the eye. Sometimes I see some people in the wrong place, and I see them because I used to play football, so I see everything around me all the time. Right? So I see this, that, the other, and my wife's got like a bad eye, so I see more than I should see, but that's all. Nevertheless, y'all see people in the wrong place, and they see you, and they try to duck behind. You can't hide from God. If you were in the bar, I don't care how dark it was or what corner of the booth you were in, God saw you. If you were in a place you are, I just put it this way, because I ain't going to mess with bars. If you were in any place you are not to be, you cannot hide. There is not a secret place. God saw you. Because there is no place you can hide from God. He said, do not I feel heaven and earth, says the Lord. So the thing is, where can you to that God can't see you. So somebody said, I'm tired of living in New York because they know my business. So I'm going to move somewhere. I'm going to make a mistake because I don't know what none of y'all came. I'm going to move here because when I move here, they don't know me. God says, I know you. I've already searched you. I've already known you. So because too many people know me here, I can't get free and get loose and do what I want to do. So if I go to another church, you know you go to another church, they got looser standards. You go to another church, they got looser standards. So everything that was sin in agape is accepted over there. God, agape didn't set sin standards. God said those. So if it's sin and agape in the word of God, guess what? Sin wherever you go. So you go over there and say, well, I can do this. God said, I searched you already. And I know you.
Yes.
Even before, while you were sitting down scheming and planning, he said, I knew your thoughts. Before you even made your move, God said, I knew why you did what you did. And it was not genuine. Because you were a counterfeit. You wanted to look real. All right, I'm going to finish this, so y'all. Come ask y'all to do me one big favor, though. I know some of y'all might not like what I'm saying, but if you get mad, if you throw a stone, they throw a big one. Because the bigger the stone is, the harder it is to throw it.
Yes.
And the longer it takes to get here, so I have a chance to go. She's going to throw a stone, throw a big one. All right, so verse 8 says, he says, if I ascend up into heaven, we just read that he fills what all heaven and earth. Let me, there is nowhere in this scope of this world that you can go that God's not there. So you said, because I go to work, you know, I used to work at a place with unsaved people, right? Yeah, that's true. I used to work at a GE. So there were some people that were saved on Sunday. When they went to work on Monday, they let down their standards. You know the old saying? And don't do this. Don't lay it down and then pick it up. Because God might come while you have laid it down. So I encourage you to keep it always up. So they would live a certain way around the saints. Then you go to work and say, you did what? At work? Then they come back to church and be shouting and praising the Lord. God was at work right where you were at. And just in case, anybody got the Holy Ghost? Anybody got the Holy Ghost? Anybody got the Holy Ghost? That's a double whammy. Because not only was God there before you got there, you walked in with you. Because the Holy Ghost, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So when you went there, God said, I was watching everything you're doing from the inside. Somebody ought to say out. Because that means you weren't living right. But God knows everything. Jesus said, I'm about to close this up. Jesus said this. He said, fear not him that is able to destroy the body. Say, well, if I don't do this, they're going to do this to me. Jesus said, don't you fear them. Fear him that they're able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. That's who we ought to fear. And who is his name? What's his name?
Jesus.
That should be our fear. That should be our reverence. Amen. He said, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike to thee. Keep going, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my way wherein thou hast covered me in my. This is David talking. He said, Lord, even before I came out the womb, you knew me. Even when I was being conceived, Lord, you saw me. He goes on to say, when I was curiously and marvelously made, God, you saw me. I heard the Lord tell Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee, I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Man, before you even came out. So God knows everything there is about you today. There is nothing you can hide from God. Your excuses, God said, don't work. What you make up, don't work. If you can do it for the world, God said, how much more should you do it for me? I sustain you. I keep you. I bless you. How can you do it for a man and you can't do it for God? God said, I am your keeper. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So he goes on to say how God knows. Actually, keep going. Go to the next verse. Keep going. I think go to verse 16. Keep going. Go to verse 16. Listen. This is God. Now we talk about somebody that knows what? Can we say
everything?
So we can make up a whole lot of stuff. He doesn't watch with God because he knows
everything.
He said, thine eyes did see my substance yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which and continues were fashioned when I wasn't fashioned. God said, listen, I was in your book. Way back in whatever, and I wasn't me. Because God knew me. God knew the day of my birth. God knows the day of my death. He said, all of this, God, you knew about me. We're talking about an intimate relationship. We're talking about a God that knows. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
The next verse, 17, says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. Amen. Now let's drop. Now he's talking about this, and he's exposed everything about himself that God knows. He said, God, you search me. God, you know everything that is about me. Amen. Now let's go down to verse 23. Let's go down to verse 23. Now he's already said God knows everything that is about him. You didn't, he said, you didn't even do me. You had all my stuff written in the book, and I wasn't even formed yet. Who should we honor and praise more than a God that knows everything? Like, if I don't do this, God forbid. But if I'm riding down the street with my wife and I'm peeking out the other side of my eye, I was wondering when God did that one time. I was like, man, are you crazy? This guy was nuts. He just had a wandering eye, so he's riding down the street. Every time he saw a halfway decent girl, he's waving at her. And then when his wife looked at like he's playing out the window, I was like, it's just way too much. You know? So that was my first and last ride ever with that guy. Never ride with him again. That's right. But if I'm going somewhere and I think my wife sees me and I act one way, but when my wife don't see me, I act another way, it's counterfeit.
Yes.
It's hypocritical. So if I'm in church and I'm praising the Lord with the saints, and I'm in some business manner and I go flying off and saying some words all I'm about to say, God sees me. You with me? So if somebody does something good for me, and I got a little stinking attitude, everybody has some stinking. For business, I always say stinking. No nasty. I say nasty attitude. I'm sorry. Somebody does that, I got an old nasty attitude. Doesn't God see me? Well, how did you do? Well, in your mind running a million miles an hour, making up something. God said, rewind, Go back and get all that stuff right because you were not honest. Amen. You weren't truthful. So David goes through all of that, talking about all that God knows about him. Then he says, search me, O God.
Yes.
And know my heart.
And know my heart. After I said all that God knows about me, he said, God, I'm afraid there's still some stuff in me that needs to come out. There's some stuff in me. Others have pat me on my back saying, you're okay. God said, David says, there's still some stuff in me. I'm afraid, Lord, that needs to come out. He says, search me, O God, and know my... Try me and know my... That thought means my anxieties. My anxious thought before they even happen. I have anxiety issues. This is David. Why? Because David looked at all the stuff he done. David had he was a man of God, hard heart, but he had some issues in his past. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He said, see if there be any more wicked ways in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. So after all that David told God, he knew about him, and he said, you know everything. He said, God, perhaps, and this is what we need to be truthful and honest with God. God, perhaps, there's some stuff in me that I haven't had right. God, perhaps I need to come clean. God, perhaps I need to be honest. So when he says, search me, that word for search is like, God, place me on your operation table. Lord, I want to be on the operation table. I want you to go down into the deep parts where they can't see on the outside. I need you to put me on the operation table and perform radical surgery on me and see what's in my heart. Then after you finish my radical surgery in my heart, then work on my mind. To see what's there's some stuff in all of us that needs to come out. Right? It says, lead me in the way everlasting. And we're going to close in this last Psalm, 143, verse 10, as we all stand. God knows everything there is about you. So if you're not right, don't walk out the door. It's because the acid test is going to meet you at the door. God's going to meet you. If you're not right, don't leave church. This is 2019. Is this the first Sunday in 2019? Let's leave right. So David goes through all that and he says, Psalm 143, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Teach me. David, after all you went through, you asked God to teach me more about your will, yes. Because we want to live a life that's pleasing to thee. Damn. Thou, my God, he said, thy spirit is good, and I want you to lead me in a way that is right before you. So God knows everything there is about us today. I submit, don't leave church. Every day people leave, and it's so sad. A 7-year-old girl was killed, and they said it was a mistaken identity. People are dying every day because of foolishness. My wife was telling me some guy went to the bowling alley. Shot up the bowling alley. Don't ever leave without God's protection. That's why at the beginning of the school year, we pray God's protection around all of our children. We want God to protect our children. Don't you want God to protect you? God won't protect you unless you submit yourself to him. The Bible says, submit to God, then resist the devil and he'll flee. I advise everyone, submit to God because he knows everything about you.